Our second reading for today, and we will first consider the lesson that Christ is trying to pull out to teach the Pharisees in Matthew 19. And this story is through verses 1 to 9. Christ is dealing with the Pharisees who love to complicate things. And in the exhortation last week, we looked at the idea of being right in our own eyes, and the Pharisees who had created a religion filled with restrictions that had become a barrier between God and the people. We looked at Christ, who was able to expose and to bring to light these men's true intentions were. And so in our reading today, we see again Christ needing to deal with this group of believers differently than those who actually needed a physician, those who were actually physically sick. We see Christ having to go back to the beginning. Their vision of who God is and who God wanted them to be had been clouded by their own ideas of religion. But Christ knew exactly what these men needed, and that was to go back to the beginning. Christ brings the Pharisees' mind back to the very beginning, the beginning of creation. When they asked him of this difficult question, the Pharisees, who knew the law perfectly, or so they thought, would have been smirking when Christ stated, "Have you not read?" in verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" From the beginning. And the Pharisees, and this phrase would have been repeated again in verse 8, as we can see on this chapter. From the beginning, it has not been this way. From the first relationship until today, it has not been this way. Oftentimes, we too need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to the basics. Why is it that we are doing what we are doing? Meeting here together, breaking bread and drinking wine. Especially when it's something that we do so regularly. Why is it that we are doing what we do? And COVID has helped me with this, to be reminded why it is so important to meet together week by week, face to face, as I had maybe started to take this a bit for granted. And it is so easy to go through our life going through the motions. And how easy is it to do this with our belief as well? We need these constant reminders. I know that I do. Reminders on why it is that we do the readings day by day. Why we pray for our meals. Why we meet together week by week. And it is important for us to get back to the basics when we have negative feelings towards our brothers and sisters. To go back and to realize that Christ died for that brother or for that sister. And to find new strength by this knowledge, to provide a measure of patience and love towards that individual. And right after the disciples start to question Christ about this answer that he gave to the Pharisees about marriage, little children started running towards Christ, and they wanted to see this man who their parents had talked so much about, this man who was able to heal the sick. They wanted to see Christ for themselves in verse 13. And what do the disciples do? They rebuke the parents from bringing their kids to Jesus. The disciples thought that Jesus had better things to do, that he didn't have time to help these children. But Christ uses this as an opportunity to bring the disciples' minds back to the basics. They were thinking about the end goal here. They were thinking, we need to get from point A to point B. And look what verse 15 says, the next verse after Christ helps the little children. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. After laying his hands on them. Christ would make time to help those in need, even the smallest, and maybe in those days, the least significant. And Christ would use this as an opportunity to teach his disciples about the attitude or a character trait that would be needed to enter into the kingdom of God. And Christ needed his disciples' minds to go back to the basics, back to the beginning of life where there is a unique perspective of the world and about God. Let's turn over to Mark 10, where we see the same incident recorded for us with a few added details. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 13. Mark 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. So how do we receive the kingdom like little children? How do we become like little children? It is important to understand that we need this character trait in order to enter the kingdom of God. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The free gift of God. Everyone loves receiving gifts. I know I do. When we get older, we may receive a gift and feel bad. Maybe it is a gift given out of great generosity. And we feel bad. We feel like maybe we don't deserve it. This is the same with the kingdom. We do not deserve the kingdom. But Christ says to us, "Fear not, it is your Father's good pleasure to give it to you." It is your Father's good pleasure. Little children have a positive response to the truth, for they come with helplessness, without merit, without any agenda or strings attached, and are generally uninfluenced by the pressure of the world. Little children come to Jesus with a heart that is open to receiving the truth willingly, and are not seeking to engage in philosophical debating. And what a breath of fresh air this must have been for Christ to have seen them being brought to him. And we read in this passage that the Lord had just been questioned by a group of hypocritical Pharisees who were trying to trick him with questions that not only demonstrated a disinterest in the truth, but showed a total lack of misunderstanding of the word of God and ignorance in the respect to the importance that the Lord places on the sanctity of marriage and the issue of divorce. And the disciples wanted to continue quizzing Jesus on this matter, for it was evident that they too also didn't understand how God viewed these important issues. And Jesus was indignant, it says. He was upset with his disciples for preventing these children from being brought to him. They were being hindered from being brought to Christ. And Christ says, "Do not hinder them from coming unto me," demonstrating how important it is in the eyes of God to share the gospel with little children. For Jesus knows that the childlike heart is the one that responds naturally to the gospel if people do not get in their way. And so as we approach the partaking of the emblems together, as a body of Christ, I would like to consider this last character that comes into the picture here in Matthew 19. The individual being the rich young ruler. And we all know this story well. The young man approaches Christ in verse 16 and asks him, "What good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life?" What good thing shall I do? Christ's answer to the young man's question and the conversation that follows will show why nobody can do enough good things to guarantee themselves eternal life. Only God is good, and only God is able. The rest of us depend on his grace to save us through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 3 verse 23 to 24 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans 3 verse 23 to 24. We know that there is nothing that we can do to obtain eternal life. Each of us have sinned and have fallen short, but God has provided us a way to bring us near again. And that way was through the death of his only son. And although we are once afar off, we have been brought near through the blood of Christ Jesus. And as we continue on, we can see Christ's answer to the young man is to keep the commandments. And what a perfect response this would have been for the individual to hear, because he had been doing this from his youth up. But we know that there was one thing that was holding him back, something that was hidden in the principles behind the commandments, behind what the commandments were requiring. And that was to love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your might, and your neighbor as yourself. And this man was not able to love fully, for he was being held back from serving his wealth. He was serving two masters and giving away all that he had, all his hard-earned possessions would have been too much for this young man. And moving down to verse 23, we learn that the man went away grieving because he owned much property. The man left Christ and returned to his own possessions. And the power of Christ's teachings can do this to us sometimes. The sacrifice of Christ can do the same also. It can cause us to stand at a distance, or it can cause us to be brought near. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20, where Christ quotes from to this young individual. Exodus chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 18. And we see in this chapter of Exodus, the Ten Commandments being given from Moses to the people. Exodus 20, and starting at verse 18. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him may remain with you and so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. The presence of God caused these people, the people of Israel, to stand at a distance. The people were instructed by Moses that God was going to be testing them. God has provided a trial for these people that that may bring them back to God as they had been separated by sin. Just like this young ruler whose trial in his life was his great wealth, a trial that could have turned into an amazing opportunity for giving and for preaching. But it had caused this young man to stand at a distance. It had caused him to leave Christ's side. And what a contrast this is when we come to the foot of the cross, when we see Christ's mother and a few other women in which followed Christ standing nearby. Turn with me to our final passage in John 19 before we close our time together back in Matthew 19. John 19, and we'll start reading at verse 25 to 27. John 19, verse 25, "These things, therefore, the soldiers did. But there, standing nearby the cross of Jesus, was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to his disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home." So at the beginning of this exhortation, I mentioned that Christ provides us a similar theme throughout these three encounters that he has with these individuals. The first few times that I read this chapter, I didn't notice it. And you might have picked it up as well when we were reading through, that Christ brings the minds of the listeners and the readers to the kingdom of God with each lesson. In verse 12 of Matthew 19, in verse 12 with the lesson of marriage, verse 14 with the lesson of the childlike faith, and then verse 23 with the lesson of looking to be made complete. Christ so desperately wanted to save the world from sin and death. His life was filled with serving others to take time, taking his time to teach and to correct and to guide. And finally, Christ turns to his disciples and to you and I in Matthew chapter 19 and speaks to them about the kingdom which is to come, a kingdom that you and I can be a part of if we leave behind those things that are temporary and seek to draw near unto Christ and to follow him. Matthew 19, verse 29, "And everyone who has left house or brothers or sisters, father or mother, children or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." Christ keeps it simple here once again, providing a clear answer to a somewhat cloudy question from his disciples. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Brothers and sisters, Christ is calling you to stand next to him, to take up our crosses. He is encouraging and has provided a way that we might follow his example, that we would not faint and lose heart. This morning we can find new strength as we meet together and partake of the bread and wine. Because Christ has overcome, who do we have to fear? 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10 reads, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ before the age began. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This morning, let's keep it simple. Let us go back to the basics, not to take away from what Christ has done, but to fully understand and to appreciate why we are here. We have been brought near this morning by the blood of the perfect Lamb. We have come to this resting place to seek encouragement and strength from one another, to stand close side by side with our brothers and sisters along the road to the kingdom of God. We are here this morning with clothes that are in need of being washed. Our spiritual garments have been stained from the decisions and the actions that we have made this past week. We need to be forgiven day by day and to be washed each day that we might be found ready to meet our Lord. And so I want to ask you and to challenge you, what is one thing that you're going to do differently this week as we wait for Christ's return to bring us closer to God? And I've considered this question on my own terms and what I need to work on. But what is one thing that maybe needs to be cleaned out of our lives? Because we all have things that we could leave behind as we seek to fill the gap between ourselves and serving Christ more fully. Each day we should be working towards being more like Christ. And maybe this is something that each of us can think about as we pass the bread and wine from hand to hand. Christ has commanded us to meet together each week to remember him. Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. Christ tells us to eat the bread and to drink the wine in remembrance of him. But our remembrance of Christ does not stop here. These symbols should not just be an action of eating and drinking, but be a motivator to do this in remembrance of him, to partake of his life, to live as Christ has instructed, to take up our crosses each day, to serve and to love others as ourselves, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So as we now have a few moments to pause and reflect, let us be strengthened by Christ's love for you and I, insofar that he was able to overcome even the death on a cross. So to close, I would like to read a small section of Hebrews chapter 10 and starting at verse 19. Hebrews 10 and starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.